Good morning. Today is Monday, Memorial Day 2022. Joining us this morning from Louisiana. Did I say it right?
You did. That was really good.
All right. Rob Arkley, good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Are you ready for your question for this morning? Why do we say it?
I am.
Why do we say, well, you know what? That one's a little goofy. Why do we say a pig in a poke?
I have no idea.
Okay. Neither do I, so we'll learn this one together. Never buy a pig in a poke. Always take a look at the merchandise before handing over payment, regardless of how great a bargain that's offered. That advice wasn't always heeded in early England, so many purchasers were stung by shrewd farmers. Until 3 months or so, or 3 months old or so, a young pig usually went to market in a heavy bag or a poke that was carried over the shoulder of the seller by means of a stick. More frequently than you'd like to think, in the good old days, quote-unquote, a farmer's poke held a stick or a deformed piglet, and sometimes even a cat, that was offered at the price well below market. If a prospective purchaser asked to take a look, the seller was likely to refuse to open his bag because once little pigs get loose, they're almost impossible to catch. Lots of folks who had taste for pork and took a stranger's word actually bought a pig in a poke. Too often, a quick look inside the bag revealed that what seemed to be a good buy was money wasted. There you go.
Boy, is that obscure.
Yeah. Okay. But we all recognize the phrase still.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, yeah. So how is Memorial Day celebrated in the South?
There are several national cemeteries here from the Civil War, and so people tend to go there, and it's not a big parade day or anything. It's a pretty solemn day. Now, we let people out at noon on Friday. We feel like, you know, people are tired, and nationally, COVID, you name it. And so we gave a little extra dispensation to people.
A little bit of a break, but it's not a celebratory, the picnic-y kind of thing that it is out here in the West. It's a little bit more personalized, so to speak.
It is. And it, whereas in Eureka, Memorial Day rains, or at least it's not warm. Down here, it's 90 degrees.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's just a different nature of the holiday.
You know, I don't know how you guys do it. I was in Montgomery a couple weeks ago.
After a while, you learn to love it.
Oh, really? I suppose that's what the snake handlers say, too.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. No. Maybe if you were on the Gulf Coast, perhaps. Yeah. But then I'd have a tough time working, so I probably just ought to stay home. isn't it interesting, the push this year for taps at 3 o'clock later on this afternoon? We're going to be doing it on each of the three stations, but I've been hearing that it's going to be really a nationwide thing, which is kind of nice. You know, the recognition of everyone who has died in whatever cause. Obviously, it's a little bit more sensitive this year because of some of the strange stuff that's been going on. But recognition of Memorial Day and seeing flags in the cemetery and, you know, all the stuff that's kind of, I'd hate to say nostalgic, but let's call it what used to be and leave it at that. Do you guys see that kind of thing in the area where you are also? Are there a lot of the flags in the cemeteries and bunting and that sort of thing?
See a lot of flags and that sort of thing. But they're it's just a different level of patriotism, I think. It's pretty overt. It's very socially acceptable. And so you just don't see that in California as much.
Yeah, probably in the more rural areas of the state.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're thinking the Sierra foothills, probably so. And I would suspect in a lot of areas that have had recent large population of immigrants coming in also, recognizing what America is and what it means to them, rather than some of us that might take it for granted.
I haven't seen that, but I would hope that's the case.
Yeah, maybe we need to start a big push when you guys get back in town, flags on the porches.
That's a great idea.
Well, would that be kind of a kick?
Sharon and I have one out when we're in town, and it's a nice thing to have.
Yeah, yeah. And there's nothing quite like seeing a brand new flag. You know, and nothing is more disturbing than seeing an old faded one, and it starts to fray at the edges. Also,
no, you got to keep your flag crisp and clean.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet neither of us thought this is where the show was going to go today.
Yeah.
Oh, the political scene. What are you seeing out there? We had in Texas, we had, Beto kind of go stupid in public there. That got a lot of attention. Not the type of attention he was looking for, obviously. DeSantis is kind of between the crosshairs with a lot of folks now also. What kind of sense do you have? Is there a recognition that things are starting to swing back towards the center?
Oh, not with the Democrat Party. They just continue to keep their pedal to the metal going left. It looks like America is substantially behind Republicans. It should be a great year this year for the Republicans. What we are seeing is there's a concerted effort by both the left and rhino Republicans to destroy Trump. And so... It's just at every level. I honestly feel sorry for him.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know if it's the scarecrow out in the field that is the problem, but it's kind of like they were beating up Bush after Obama had been in for 5 years. Or if we're going to be California-centric, Prop 13. What was that, about 50 years ago now?
Yeah.
We'll continue this when we come back. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, nationally, you're sensing this sway. I think even some of the stuff that's been going on now, Hunter Biden and his computer is now being recognized. Some of the stuff that Hillary Clinton and her campaign had done is now being exposed for what it is, you know, 4 years later. Or 8 years later, but still being exposed for what it is. In a weird sense, do you think that the news media might be getting some increase in public, not support, but belief? Because now they're finally talking about some of these things that were really fiction?
The press has destroyed itself. And very few of us on either the right or the left believe what they say. It's all about advocacy, and it tends to be left-wing advocacy. And I think we're pretty discouraged with the press. And you see it as locally as, you know, Time Standard. What's that blog called? Lost Coast Outpost or something like that. I mean, it's all bias. It just isn't, you know, I just wonder, are these journalists just not very bright? Or are they just so viscerally political that this is what they do? I don't get it.
Well, it's interesting you use the word journalist. I wonder how many are journalists.
You know, that's a very fair question. And it's just too bad. I don't understand this attack on free speech. I don't understand the term hate speech. Speech is speech. And I guess I'm very old school and I'm dating myself, but if I don't like what you say, that's just the way it goes. We're free to say whatever we want. But boy, people are punitive about these things these days.
Yeah, yeah. I don't. It's something I think that is a pendulum. I think it'll swing back. But I wonder the damage that the press has done to itself, if it's salvageable or not. I would hate to think that the internet-based stuff, information sources, etc., was going to be the residual survivor out of all of this. You know, and everything else is going to be either commentary or perspective, rather than having a neutral that is disseminated throughout the country. Because there are so many different internet-based choices that are out there, there would never be a single focus. You wouldn't have, and I know Cronkite wasn't necessarily everybody's favorite, but there would never be another Uncle Walter. And it's like, you know, something is missing if we don't have that singularity that's out there.
Well, the closest thing to that recently was Rush Limbaugh, in my opinion. I mean, the left despised him, but they didn't think he was... They didn't have the, and the right revered him. So I don't think there's a comparable person, but the closest would be Rush Limbaugh. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Rush was part of that era, the bygone era. You know, he may have been the last one standing, but I think his roots were coming out of some of these other areas. Yeah, Bo Snerdly, one of his guys, is now doing a daily update, you know, a website. He said after Rush had been dead for a year, he wanted to give him that much space, and then he's starting to do something. But again, it's another single point, but out of a universe of thousands or millions that are out there. And that's the thing that I would like, and being a traditionalist also and being in the media that we are, to have a network that's out there that is the same across the board for everybody, and everybody gets treated the same. It's not slanted
you know
left. It's not slanted.
You know
right.
Who's doing a good job, and you can call it epic. That's how I pronounce it, or they some people call it epoch. But the Epic Times really is a wonderful publication, and they're the closest thing to what you and I grew up with, the Christian Science Monitor, which was pretty darn balanced. Epic Times is close to that, too.
Right. You know, I would have thought that Bloomberg would have been, and I think maybe his radio network is, but it's business-based rather than news-based. And that's a little bit different in there also. But, you know, even how Elon Musk is being treated. You know, golden child, golden child, golden child by Twitter. Now he's the Antichrist. Wait a minute. How could the same guy be the same, you know, with the same approach be perceived so differently after a 24-hour cycle? It just doesn't make any sense. I don't know. Maybe it's like the old days of Clark Gable, too. We just won't ever go back there and everything will be CG.
Well, people really have gotten on the... anti-Musk bandwagon, and I think he is a really remarkably prescient disruptor. And
I think we used to call it a hyphen stirrer, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. But you know what's his thing he's doing that is going to rock our world more so than anyone talks about is his satellite.
The space
company.
Yeah, the space stuff, the up in the air stuff. Yeah, yeah. If we go wireless all over the place. Yeah, there's a lot of infrastructure that becomes antiquated very, very, very quickly.
Yeah, and he's going to do it. I mean, we signed up for it.
I think that, is it affordable yet or projected to be?
Absolutely. Oh. When you consider what you're paying for cable and that,
it's
fine.
We're going to have to talk when you come back to town. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Barkley on this Memorial Day. Take a moment or three to recognize and celebrate, and perhaps not with firecrackers, but celebrate nonetheless Memorial Day. Rob, when we're thinking about what's going on nationally with a lot of the politics, one of the things I think that is forgotten or overlooked are some of the impacts of some of these changes and determinations that have occurred over the last little bit. We can think of the oil in the pipeline. Okay, that is being played with. Some of the supply side of things. Okay, the drug stuff. Okay, manufacturing, et cetera, et cetera. So much of this that we're experiencing locally, or domestically rather, it has its roots in the international arena. Do you think, are we starting to pay attention to some more of the international rather than just the Ukraine and the Russian battlefield that's going right now?
Well, I think the globalism model is being restructured at warp speed as we speak. And an example is you're seeing chip factories going to be built in America. We just leased a building to Toyota in Greensboro, and they are building $1.5 billion battery plant. We're building it here because of national security. And so we're seeing a re-rationalization of what globalism was.
Now, wait a minute. You said Toyota building in America for American protection, but it isn't. Isn't Toyota still internationally owned?
That's not the issue. The issue is it's being produced in America.
Okay. It's the production side of it, not the ownership side of the equation.
Yeah, it's not a supply side. It is a supply side issue.
Gotcha.
And so,
okay.
Whereas previously that would have been built Lord knows where. But we're insisting that, and that's going to ripple through the economy. It already is.
Well, there's a lot of automotive manufacturing going on in the Southeast. There was when we were in Alabama. Alabama's got a bunch of it. Georgia's got a bunch of it. You indicated in the Carolinas. I mean, there's. I don't think a lot of us know where a lot of the manufacturing is. So to hear something like that is kind of feels good.
Isn't that encouraging?
Yeah.
People say, well, it'll be automated, not as many jobs. there are going to be a lot of jobs. It's going to be the workers' turn to raise prices. And so I just think the workers hold the cards right now, and that's okay. Everyone works in his or her special interests, and so a lack of globalization creates an opportunity for the United States employees.
Now, you said rising prices, and that, you know, we were kind of skirting around the whole concept of inflation. What do you see with that? I mean, is it going to continue to spiral? And I don't know if it's out of control or not, but when the Fed governors are saying they're going to bump things up a point and a half, it's like, okay, great. You know, you want to kill the economy totally. That's a pretty good way to approach it really quick. And then we have...
That's not a serious interest rate bump. The Fed is just not being serious about inflation, no matter how you slice it. Because, and remember what Volcker did? Now, he raised rates and squished inflation.
Right.
But we don't have the tolerance for the pain that that brings on. I just think we are going to see... The other thing the Fed is doing is it's letting its bond portfolio run off and it stopped buying. There's going to be a liquidity crunch in this country.
Is that just a philosophical thing that they're doing, or is there a rationalization about why they're not continuing the bond market or weighing into the bonds?
Well, they view that as another way to raise rates. So you shrink your balance sheet, and consequently, that is equivalent to raising rates, they believe. I'm not on the same wavelength as they are, but I think that they've done such a massively awful job, it's just astonishing. But
let's play a little game here. There was speculation, and I don't know if this was, I don't remember the source, that what would happen if DeSantis was the presidential nominee and Trump came in as either in charge of the Treasury Department or as economic advisor or something, you know, really where his expertise really lies. How quick can this stuff be stabilized? Is it a six-month repair if somebody goes in and really wants to take care of it, or is this multiple years to undo what has been done?
Well, number one, you have to get people confirmed and position staffed with people who will do what you want them to do. If there was a failure of the Trump administration, it was the failure to understand that the embedded bureaucracy was not just fighting them, they were stopping them dead in their tracks on a lot of efforts. So you can want to do all these things, but if the people below you won't. So the first thing I'd do is have a giant purge and then hire the people. You can do the same with, a third of the people, from what I understand. And so I think if you really want to do it, you fire two-thirds of the people and then get more discretion with the embedded bureaucracy having a lesser role.
These are the folks that surround the president in the White House?
Yeah, everywhere, DHHS. They genuinely do have a disinformation board? I didn't.
Yeah.
How'd that slip?
Yeah, I know. That was a little mind-boggling, too.
Okay. Well, I listened to her NPR yesterday. Sorry, bud.
That's all right.
The Jankowicz, and, you know, she just acts like she's just one big victim. Well, no. The fact is you had a demonstrable track record, and people objected to it. And that little Mary Poppins thing, that was your dinner. You were making fun of things.
You know, if you only have filet all the time, you never appreciate it, so every once in a while you got to get hamburger. So I don't mind you trying NPR periodically. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hey folks, Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, with some of the different challenges that are out there, and as we're trying to get new spins, new interpretations, case law, we've got the stuff going on at the Supreme Court and the State Supreme Court and the Appeals Court, is there still a comfortable, for those who are inclined, separation of church and state, or has that been so redefined from where the forefathers were, that we really don't know what their original intent was?
Well, the original intent was clear. The separation of church and state is a court-coined phrase. I think it was a Supreme Court case that did it, and the press took over. But, you know, it didn't mean we were an atheist society. We were not. They were all deists. And so I just think that is too bad. I kind of look with amusement at Nancy Pelosi being outraged and other people being outraged about the not being able to take communion. Well, look, there are fundamental rules to being Catholic. And, you know, one of them is you can't advocate for the killing of a child. I mean, it's a sin, according to our faith. Now, Nancy believes it's okay, so does Biden, and that's fine. You're just not practicing as a conforming Catholic, and have your own religion. And you can say you're Catholic, you can call yourself Catholic, but fact is you're not adhering to the tenets of Catholicism. Am I oversimplifying this?
The church doctrine is church doctrine. It's, I think, one of the things that many of us understand is that it's not up for debate necessarily. It's not an interpretation. It's not played. It's not as pliable as what some people would like to think. But what I've been intrigued by is how the press picked up on that. And it's like somebody came out. Was it the Washington Post? Somebody, maybe it was New York, that said that the archbishop should be taken out because of this interpretation.
That's nothing new. I mean, whenever the church takes a position that someone doesn't like, and it happens all the time, there's always a call for reform, do this, do that. And, you know, the Catholic Church changes on God's time, not man's time. And so these calls are nothing new from what I can tell. Maybe I'm overly cynical.
No. Say it ain't so, Joe.
But, I mean, I don't understand them getting so mad. They can call themselves Catholic. But the fact is they're just not adhering to Catholic doctrine. And they can be offended. They can do this or that. You have choices. Life's full of choices. You want to espouse things that are contrary to the church, you're free to do so. And the church is also saying, look, we're not kicking you out forever. Just change. Adhere to our doctrine. We're not asking you. You are asking us to adhere to your personal doctrine. That's not right.
Have you seen with the different research that you've done, throughout the country, is there a swing back to more traditional religion, more faith-based activity? Is that part of that conservative swing that you referenced earlier in the show, or is that kind of a separate arena?
That's such a great question. And I think there are some very solid things happening on the religious front vis-a-vis the Catholic Church, vis-a-vis the Protestant side. I mean, they seem like, for the most part, they're just continuing towards human secularism. And so, you know, no doubt the church is going to shrink, but for immigration in the United States. The Protestants, they're just kind of, they view it as a, Christianity as a social doctrine, different than we do.
So I guess that'll give us something to talk about into the future as we do whatever it is that we do here. Hey, have a safe Memorial Day.
Yeah, and thank and pray for the repose of these brave souls who defended us.
All across the board. Thanks, bud. See you everybody tomorrow.
Bye-bye.